You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's The Americans After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Americans After Show.
Without any music.
There we are.
YouTube.
Ah, the song's so good.
A spy came in and stole our song for a second. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another episode of The Americans for you here at AfterBuzz TV. This is called The Colonel, the season finale of The Americans, episode 13, season one finale. I'm so sad. I am your host, Lauren Leonelli.
I'm Joe Braswell.
I'm Jennifer Golden.
And I'm Joe Sanfilippo.
And we are, it was a great episode, but we are all sad.
Very sad that it's over.
It was so fast. It felt so fast.
This episode.
Very good, though.
This killed it tonight.
So good.
Yeah.
Very intense, heart pounding, made me sweat a little.
Proved our predictions were pretty off.
In fairness, I think you were sweating one way or the other. But yes, I understand.
No.
Maybe the best episode yet.
You think so?
Oh, faux show.
Oh, yeah.
Faux show.
I think maybe. I mean, if we were to go back and look at the season, I'm sure we could be like, well, that episode was pretty awesome, too. Because a lot, we said this about a lot of the episodes when they were done.
That's true.
But I really do think that this one really took it. I mean, they got very risky with their choices. Mm-hmm. And we always say, how are they going to fix this? How are they going to fix that?
Right.
They took it to the next level on this
one.
They did. But
the next level.
I mean, and we'll get to predictions for season two later. I think that, like, we got a lot of info where we can, like, okay, now we can have a break for a little bit and come back. It's like, give it to us now, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we always talk about the whole, like, the balance between the relationship drama and the spy drama.
Yeah.
I think this gave us everything we want from The Americans, which is the good, not just the good spy kind of stuff, but the action sequence, too. Good car chase. We have the ultimate relationship stuff playing out with, you know, finding out what's happening with Stan and his relationships, and also, of course,
relationships.
Phil. Relationships.
Everybody has multiple.
And
what
and of course, we also had some sex in there too with your
girl. Oh my,
your girl,
Martha.
Martha got hers, man.
She seems to enjoy the
poor Clark. He came out of there, man. That was he looked like he'd been to the mountain. Sherpa.
Oh my God!
That was
Clark,
rough scene.
I mean, yeah, Clark was
poor Clark.
Who
man.
Was uncomfortable during that?
Oh,
scene?
Me. I was this me. Girl.
It was humid under there.
Clark is one dedicated.
Clark
was,
dedicated in Orlando,
what?
Florida.
Speaking of humid, I was a little worried about his wig coming off.
Yeah,
that would have been the moment where the wig would have.
Or doesn't he have a stash? Did he have does Clark have a stash?
I think he does.
How?
That's
some good spirit gum. That's some good glue.
If she grabs his wig, though, while he's down there.
That's what the covers are for.
That's what the comforter's for.
He was like, no, I want to tent myself in here. Don't touch my... I can't.
Man.
That's definitely a choice they made, because they could have been doing consummation of it in another way.
Right.
But they went dirty.
I mean, that's because you have to go build up from shove it inside of me. I'm just quoting the show.
Hey.
Yeah, that did happen. I forgot.
Martha. Martha's got a lot to say.
Martha likes the boys.
Yes, she does.
One in particular.
Martha really does like
boy, right.
her Clark.
Anyway, that was that we. Oh, I mean, love FX for giving us crazy.
You know
sex
what I
scenes.
Think the deal is with that? I think they made a choice, because I don't think they want us to feel. I think they want us to feel that Phil. We want to have empathy for Phil, and so when Phil is with Martha, we want to see that he's working. It's hard work.
It is.
This
it
is not a.
You know he's going else, the extra mile to prove it.
You know what else got to be like hard work in this episode? This is like the parenting stuff with the kids. Like, this is where we really got to see Elizabeth have her like Achilles heel with the kids and the sensitivity there. And speaking of the kids, Paige. She's like Rebellion
Paige
City.
She's going to find some stuff out.
Well, dude, Paige is not just, I don't think, the divorce might be setting her off, but I think she's on to this. Something else going on.
Yeah.
She's older. She's feeling something. Whether or not it's the separation and she feels like maybe mom's cheating or...
I bet that's it.
Her instincts. I think you say it, JTJ. Do you say she has her mom's blood? Is that you?
I said that.
Lauren.
Well,
Or are you?
I think it was Joe, but
it
I'm
was
just
me,
saying.
But
look,
I must have said it in a very high pitched voice.
She's gonna need.
I don't have a high pitched voice.
There's gonna need to be some reconciliation with the mom and the daughter. And I'm just, you know, that's all I'm saying. And I think I personally, just to say, a lot of children have this problem with their have a little bit of a rebellion stage with their moms. I know I did.
Sure.
Like, for example, mom, remember? I'm going to speak to my mom right now.
Talk to mom.
Remember when I was in college and I didn't have to work and you paid my rent? That was really nice. And I think I owe you for that one.
You didn't have to work. Your mother paid your rent?
My mother paid my rent for me in college. My job was to go to school. And those were the good old days.
Yeah, well.
And now I think it's time to pay her back. And, you know, that might take a while, let's be honest. But
Mother's Day is coming up.
You can start by buying her some beautiful flowers.
Oh.
And I would like to buy those beautiful flowers from ProFlowers.com.
I've heard of them.
They're amazing. And it's perfect right now because ProFlowers is offering, get this, 1 dozen rainbow roses or double the roses, and you get some chocolates and a premium pink vase for $29.98. That's 50% off, people.
If your mother paid for your college room, you need to get her the 2 dozen roses the chocolates and what else?
This is just the start to my payoff. I'm just saying, if anybody needs to thank their mother, now is a good time to start because of this offer. And it's only for radio listeners, so you guys are in luck.
Yes.
Okay. And ProFlowers are guaranteed to last a full week.
That's a long time for flowers.
Yeah, and you know how that is when you order flowers and they're like already dead when they come in the mail?
A lot of the times that happens.
So this...
Or people sent you guys dead flowers. I'm just saying.
Or it was dead flowers. But ProFlowers will last anyway because they're amazing. And they were recently awarded the highest customer satisfaction with online flower retailers by J.D. Power & Associates. So if you want to hear more about that, go to visit jdpower.com for more info. But my mom, I sent her flowers. She loved them. She was really super surprised because she thought like... They were fresh. They were so fresh and they smelled so good that she thought they were like delivered from a local florist. So they're awesome. So, you know, you guys can make your mom happy on Mother's Day.
Yep.
This is the way to do it. And you get an amazing Mother's Day deal. It's happening right now. So go to proflowers.com. Click on the microphone on the top right corner and type in AfterBuzz. So proflowers.com, top right corner, AfterBuzz is your keyword there. And you'll get that discount.
That's a major discount.
It's a major discount. And the offer is expiring soon. So get on that, people.
And by the way, ProFlowers is also connected to Red Envelope. So you could like buy flowers and chocolate and
presents.
Get a gift as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or for yourself.
I've said it once.
While you're there.
I'll say it again. These aren't amateur flowers, Joe.
No, these are pro flowers.
That's right. And not just for your mom. And we're all going to send flowers to our mom via pro flowers, but also, you know,
to your girlfriends, wives.
You know.
Joe screws up a lot, so he'll be sending them several people, I would imagine.
You know what?
He's got a frequent flyer card with him. I don't even know you flew on pro flowers.
Honored
customer over
every bouquet of flowers I get automatically comes with chocolates, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, hey.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we think that...
Pro flowers.
Oh, snap. We think that Paige should be sending her mom some flowers.
Absolutely. Because she's a little demon child.
She is
I don't know if it's fair to call her a demon.
Okay, that might be taking up on
her. All she was going to do was climb into mom and dad's bed because she had a nightmare. And it's the only house in America where if you go into mom and dad's room, the odds are pretty good they're not going to be there. They'll be out killing someone. I mean, that's, you know...
By the way, I mean, that's a really crazy rule because I remember my growing up, even to this day, if my mom stayed over at my house, she's coming to visit for Mother's Day, of course, she would be like waking up at any time, you know?
Yeah.
There's no question.
That's totally, I mean, true. We were talking about this, you know, that's this dumb rule to have because even if the kids understand that's the rule, you're not allowed to wake us up in the middle of the night. What's going to happen is they're going to wake up in the middle of the night in a tizzy or sick
and they run.
Right. It's just like instinct. They're not going to be like running down the hall. Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to wake up mom and dad. I'm 3 years old or whatever. I mean, it's just like, that's not going to happen.
It seems like a very Elizabeth rule though. Like,
absolutely.
In that household, Elizabeth can say, and don't wake me up because I'm like, yes, mom.
And she was so shocked. She's like, when Elizabeth saw Paige, she's like, what are you doing down here?
Yeah,
like, has never happened ever.
You were put in bed. You're done.
You do not wake up.
How dare you?
You were put to sleep.
And if you do wake up, you do not look at me.
I was listening to your grandmother, and I was crying. Don't you ever.
Oh. That was an awkward scene, but it was a good scene.
Always.
There's always a good scene.
Always good scenes when they're serious and still like that. But but Paige, and we can save this for predictions, I think there's a something else underlying in that with her.
Something's
in that curiosity. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's...
Like what?
Well, she's spying.
I think she thinks that something's... I think she thinks it's more than just, like, what is my mom doing? I think she's got some sort of an instinct or...
Spy instincts.
Maybe, and I don't know that it's necessarily as specific as to be like, my parents are Russian spies, but for sure she thinks that something's going on, and I don't think she thinks it's as simple as, what is my mom doing down here? Maybe has a boyfriend or something. I feel like it's...
Hiding in the garage.
Right.
She thinks something major is happening, right. Let's put it that way. Like, it's not a little thing.
And to be fair, though, people are up sometimes in the middle of the night because they can't sleep, so they fold laundry. That right. just happens.
Well, yeah. It was a very
not unheard
viable
of.
Lie. It just, Paige doesn't buy it.
Right. I do like how Elizabeth, though, being the super spy that she is one step ahead of her. It's a very spy-like thing and also a very mother-like thing to do, to be one step ahead of your daughter. And she's like, well, she might come down here. She's nosy. So she had the laundry folded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone was she ready knows to go. Her kid.
I love that.
Oh, we have a caller.
Oh, hello.
Oh, we do. Hello.
Caller, you're on the line with the Americans AfterBuzz TV After Show.
Hi. Welcome, caller. What's your name?
This is Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
What's going on?
Oh, man. I wanted to talk about Nashville. Tonight's episode was crazy.
It was.
Oh, call back later because we will be here at 11 o'clock doing that after show.
We are doing the Americans right now, and Nashville has not happened yet, but will you call back for Nashville?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, call back at what time do we start? 11?
11.
11 PST.
Sorry about that, guys.
That's okay. We'll talk to you later, Courtney. Oh, man.
Way to go, Steve.
We didn't see Nashville yet.
I know, but now we know it's crazy.
Now we know it's good. So if you're watching, tune in for Nashville. Oh, man. I thought we were getting our first caller for the American
next season, guys.
Joe, you look really disappointed, Joe.
It's okay. Don't cry.
I do want to talk more about that whole scene with the with Mom and Paige because it was a question. It was an answer with a question, an answer with a question, an answer with a question. It was really like the way that they spoke to each other.
It was very parallel.
Yeah, and it wasn't, and it was very, it was a conversation of equals until Elizabeth decided to shut it down, until Elizabeth said, now you're going upstairs.
Uh-huh.
But it was really interesting because Paige was not taking the pat answers.
No.
But I really don't think it's about spies. I think it's about thinking mom blew it with dad because dad's the cool parent. Like, dad's the fun guy, dad's the loving one, mom's the colder one. Yeah, mom blew it. Whatever mom did, mom blew it with dad. And what the hell is she downstairs doing?
I don't think that she thinks, I just said, I don't think that that Paige thinks my parents are Russian spies. I think she thinks it's a big deal, whatever is happening. That it's not just some little thing like I was going to catch mom, like talking to a girlfriend on the phone or a boyfriend or gossiping or whatever. I don't know, or whatever she thought. I just feel like she thinks it's something major.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can always have that sense where you know something's up, you don't know what it is. Yeah.
But to your point, Joe, I think that's a common theme in households where, you know, if the dad moves out, the mom's bad.
Good cop, bad cop.
I'm divorced. I did that. I was a hero to the kids. My mom. My wife was like, you know, ex-wife was like always a villain. She's, you get to be the good guy all the time.
And absolutely.
Same thing with my parents. You know, my parents are divorced. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens.
Mm-hmm. I could see, yeah. And that's probably what's... could definitely have sprung her into that, like, rebellion state. I mean, it definitely was in this story, for sure.
Right.
So Paige is taken after mom a little bit here.
She is. She's got intuition.
Should we talk a little bit about Instagram?
Let's talk about the scenario.
So we segued into Paige because that's where we kind of ended. That's the last thing we saw. But the ops, I think, were pretty intense, specific, and very, very crazy this episode. So we had the one op where they were supposed to pick up the tape from Weinberger's office. Mm-hmm. And then the other op was meeting the colonel and getting the information that this crazy specified information.
Right.
But going back to your point about Instagramma, she actually surprised us all.
Yeah.
You're right.
She's sitting there with Arcady telling them, got to call this off. This mission is no good. Nothing about this makes sense.
And she's already been transferred.
Right.
I was wondering why, though, I get now why we were talking about it while we were watching the show, but why wouldn't she just, with Elizabeth, say, you know what, this is like a risky thing, maybe I can talk to somebody about this?
Well, I think it would break down the whole chain of command.
Yeah, she's old school.
Okay.
It's got to go, I mean, if the person above you is saying that the policy is no good, then it reinforces your feeling that the policy is no good.
And she's old school. She's not going to be chit-chatting.
So then what made
like
her think it was okay to say that to Arcady?
Well, because Arcady's above her. Arcady's the next level up. It goes Arcady and then Instagram.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
Right.
So, like Elizabeth told her fears to Instagram.
Instagram was like the assistant general manager at the store.
I get what you're saying. I just thought it was bizarre. It just made her, I don't know.
It was kind of touches on what I said last week about Instagram is that, or Margot Martindale is that.
Claudia.
The way she played Claudia.
Instagram.
Claudia.
So many names.
We just rewrote her character. No big deal.
The way Margot Martindale plays Claudia, it's like she could be 100% saying everything right, but it's something about the way she plays her. We don't believe a word she's saying.
It's a weird, slimy kind of thing.
But it turns out that that's just the way she's playing that character, because guess what? Everything she said is true, including the fact that she was in love with Zhukov.
She went and whacked that fool. Oh my God.
Yeah,
she killed Patterson, like in a real way.
She just sat there and watched him bleed to death.
Yeah. She could have done it any other way. She zapped him. He was incapacitated.
She could have shot him in the head with a silencer.
Nope, I'm going to bleed you out on your floor.
It's going to take
10 minutes and I'm going to talk to you about it.
Right. You'll be paralyzed for 20. This is going to take 10. I got a story that's going to take you about 5, 10 minutes.
Let me give you seven minutes to think yourself. Which also plays into her, her scene with Elizabeth where she said, you don't know me at all.
You know, and that was really, it was really interesting to me because you forget. A lot of Americans don't know that the Russians lost between 20 and 24 million people during World War II. Yeah. The numbers are almost inconceivable.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a tendency, I think, for me anyway, when I watch this show, I forget that Claudia is from that generation. She was saying first time she met Victor, he was super skinny. He was too skinny, like
standing
we all were.
Yeah.
And he was standing over two dead Nazis. They fought the Nazis first.
Yeah.
24 million people is the estimate.
That's crazy.
That's unbelievable. Crazy. That is a tough generation, man. They're no joke.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting to see now. This has wrapped a little bow around our thoughts on Claudia, where we didn't trust her and we thought, you know, our predictions last week were like that she's going to take the kids and run, or she's going to sabotage what's going on with them because she knows she's being transferred and mm-hmm. whatnot. And then we see she's actually protecting them mm-hmm. and she did love Zhukov and killed that guy. And so the things she was saying weren't actually tests and weren't trying to throw them off or trip them up and send them back.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually she was doing her job by the book.
Including the one time when she did go off book was when she tried to trick Elizabeth into killing dude for her.
Right. But she
confided in her and said it because I loved him.
And we didn't believe her.
No one believed her. But now we know it's all true. So Instagram.
We got to see a little bit of her heart there.
Yeah.
She's always very cold. And they always show that in such an interesting way with the writing and the acting choices in the show. You always get to see a little glimpse into their soul with like a very subtle choice.
It's like very indirect.
You put the puzzle pieces together and you're like, oh, it's not too, you know, dramatic. It's just... You know, these people have to cover constantly for their job. So it would be very unrealistic for them to be spewing out vulnerability all the time. And I think that it's they all do that in such a perfect way. And it leaves you wanting more.
Yep.
What I thought was really interesting is it seemed like there was a lot of, at least a couple of spots where there were like items that that were valued by people whose lives are so chaotic. Like, you know, Claudia has for years been part of the KGB before it was the KGB.
Yeah.
But she has that picture of Viktor Zhukov that she's kept with her that entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And she shows, dude, Elizabeth's got that recording of Mom that she's probably played 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she looks at that picture before she goes, if she leaves the office, the picture of the family. There's little things that obviously they're taking with them.
Yeah.
So you to me anyway, it seems to have a heightened value because their lives are so up in the air, they're so chaotic. And could change at any moment, whereas the rest of us kind of take for granted that this is our stuff and it's not a big deal.
Right.
For them, it's much more cherished, I would imagine. And you got to have much less. You can't take your whole life with you.
Oh, yeah, it's one thing.
One or two things you can have.
Exactly.
You committed your whole life to being in another country, living this other life. So whatever life you've had.
Speaking of living this other life and committing yourself and really committing yourself to not even speaking the language ever or with an accent, we got to see Elizabeth. Let's talk about Elizabeth and Philip here.
Right.
We got to see Elizabeth and Philip have a crazy car chase, and of course, Elizabeth gets shot, and then we have that moment at the end where she finally says, we all agreed, she had to be the one to say, come home, and she said it in Russian.
Yes. She said in Russian,
amazing.
On the bed, with the bullet out. Oh, just came to... That was perfect. How else are you going to ask him to come home?
That was perfect. But it took something like that for her to finally do it.
Did we hear him say yes? Did he say, da?
No. He
said yes with his eyes.
Okay. Yes, and he held her hand, and he was like relieved.
All right, but do we know?
Oh, he's coming home.
He's coming home.
That apartment's out. That motel's over.
Yeah.
All right. What about poor Martha? He got an apartment.
That's weird.
Martha.
She's picking out wallpaper.
He'll keep picking out wallpaper
and putting the ring on like Gollum from freaking Lord of the Rings.
I don't know how that wallpaper is going to stay up in that room if that humidity keeps going like that.
She's going to scratch it all. That is just brutal.
The wallpaper uses the same glue as they do with the mustache and the white hair.
Oh, so it's like cement on.
Yeah, it's like nothing's coming. Nothing can.
Except when he had to rip that mustache off in that car chase, it seemed to come off pretty damn easy. Let's just say that.
Well, I want to just jump back really quickly to the ops because we talked.
We talked about the colonel.
There's a couple things on that. Number one, I really thought that that op was going to be a bust because everyone's spidey senses were tingling. Phil was like didn't trust it. Elizabeth didn't trust it. Even Mr. Grandma didn't trust it, and just felt like this was a setup, but. It was interesting how the writers did such a good job of misdirecting even us, the audience, because
we thought all those stakeouts were happening there. We didn't know where their location was.
No, the colonel, we felt that like the symbol was about the colonel. Everything was about the colonel, but it was actually the only person watching was Grandma.
Well, even when it was going down, and even though we knew they were staked out at Weinberger's house, I still thought somehow they were going to be thinking that it was connected somehow.
Well, they were saying that Prince started talking while they were over at Weinberger's.
That was your thing.
So that was my thought. I thought, well, if somebody's listening to Prince, he's going to tell them where the colonel is, and they're going to roll up, right? But that obviously didn't happen. But the
Weinberger setup, though. Which is a great, that thing played out all the way through the entire season.
The entire season.
Playing the bug. And
they said, don't do this from the beginning. This was the risky op they didn't want to do.
They were right again. And I almost bit him in the ass. And I wonder, they sure as hell will hear about it, too.
Absolutely. You
know? It's definitely interesting, though, that all of their intuition was like almost there. They knew something was fishy about this whole scenario. But like you always say, Joe, that it's not an exact science.
Espionage.
Exactly. That everybody, right, exactly. Everybody's onto it in some way, but not quite there. And so this is what happens.
Mm-hmm. It's also, this show makes me crazy because I don't know
really good twist.
Who to, it's not that I'm rooting for anyone or not rooting for anyone, but I'm really sort of, you know, rooting for Stan in some sense. Like I want Stan to be right. I want Stan to get this win, but if he wins, you can't find Elizabeth and Philip.
Right.
It's all bad. Philip and Elizabeth.
I have a hard time rooting for Stan.
Well, I do and I don't.
He's a good guy with a good heart. But he's also cheating on his wife.
Yeah.
And misleading Nina.
Have you met Clark? And Martha,
right?
I've met a lot of them.
We've talked about this whole show, it's finally, I think as Americans, we're at this place where we're able to actually see ourselves with some nuance. And this show really does force you to see it, because you're not seeing a clear cut and dry evil bat.
Right.
You know, like World War II movie, oh, the Nazis are bad and the Americans are good. Very cut and dry, it's very easy. But with the Cold War, it's a lot more going on.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Colonel was saying, he's talking about the Star Wars escalation. And he's talking to Philip, he's like, you know, they're talking. He's calling it. It was incredible. Isn't that what he's calling it?
Right.
But that's not believable.
But that's your point. That's not the Cold. I mean, that's we're saying this now, looking back 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But that's not the Cold War I grew up with. The Cold War I grew up with was it was
that's
black and white.
Exactly what
Russians
I'm saying.
Russians bad. Americans good. You know that.
But that's what I'm saying is that we're able to look at that time period now. And see some nuance, which means I think as Americans we're starting to be able to see nuance in general.
Well, I think that is true. And then also when you're put in this situation and you become emotionally attached to Philip and Elizabeth, even though they're fighting for the other team per se, I feel like it makes it hard to root for. I want Philip and Elizabeth to win.
Yeah, it's hard.
I had a feeling where I didn't want them to win, to be honest. I almost wanted them to get caught.
I did not. And maybe, I don't know, let's have a caller call in for our show and tell us what they thought. Because I get it. I mean, look, I'm obviously an American, or am I? And I feel like I should be rooting for them to be taken out. Like, they're bad, but I just I don't want Stan to win.
I think the interesting thing about the show and what you're saying about the nuance thing, Joe, is that this just shows us the parallel. Like, these are these people's jobs, and these are these. What's really the difference?
Yeah. There's no difference.
You're getting orders, you're getting orders. You're trying to stop war from happening. You're trying to stop war from happening, but you have to get intel to do it. They're both doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Who's really that much worse?
Nobody. Well, but I just am emotionally attached to Philip and Elizabeth.
Well, of course. But they even talk about, Arcady said to Nina, you're going to end up in an American jail versus a Russian jail.
Right.
At that point, you're in jail.
Well, right. Well. In all fairness, our jails were nicer at the time. I don't
know. Yeah, sure.
Now,
I'm sure.
Happened with some Russian gulag. That's
place to nothing
be.
Good.
Well, this is kind of what I was saying. You know, we were talking about this in episodes 3 and 4. How the storytelling is so amazing because it sort of lays all these things out there for us to follow. Like they don't really ask you to choose sides.
Yeah.
The protagonists are the Russians, but they just kind of lay all this out here. Like it's such a mind f this show because I completely forget that Nina is on the same side as
Philip and Elizabeth. We talked about that.
They're on the same team, and also like it's just weird, you know.
Mm-hmm. She's actually who ended up saving them.
But they're so disconnected as characters that you don't look at it that way.
And it's funny because Stan and Philip and Elizabeth are connected because they're neighbors, but they're also fighting each other. So they're very connected in more than one aspect. And then Nina seems so far removed.
Right.
And right.
Nina did a very good acting
Nina's slick
job.
In there.
Yeah.
I mean, which is why Arcady wanted to keep her.
Her character did a good act.
Right.
She's a great actress, but her character also did some good acting with Stan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coming out the bathtub.
That's right.
I've been waiting.
I had a feeling that she was slick enough to be back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She knows what she's doing. And he's had a couple of hours. And if she knew that things were going to go wrong and she had, had a diversion, she knew that he was going to be resolving all that and what was happening.
She is like the perfect quintessential La Femme Nikita.
She is
came out from nowhere. She's super sexy, that dark hair, and she's like, now she's going to freaking start taking people out.
I got a confession to make. I got an announcement / confession. I've done a complete 180 on Nina.
Oh yeah, you don't like her now?
I'm out. I can't, towards the end there.
You liked it when she was helpless, and now that she's a powerful woman, you don't like it.
No,
are we talking about, attracted to her as a person or her character?
Well, no, I'm attracted to both.
Okay.
Just to be clear. However.
Just in case.
Nina would not be thrown out of bed unless there's something happening on the floor.
That would be yes. I'd already made it clear that I'd be turned. I'd give all the secrets up. whatever she needed to know.
You're turning in your chair right now.
I'm a little excited to talk about Nina. But listen.
It's happening.
But as a character, the whole notion of, because I'm so, my loyalties kind of lie with Stan. I feel a little bad for Stan. I know.
Wait, let me just, hold on.
Don't make this about sex. This is his deal.
I'm not.
I want to know you want you feel loyal to Stan. I feel loyal to Philip and Elizabeth. You feel loyal to Stan. Who do you?
Oh no, I never said I feel loyal to Stan.
Well, you wanted him to catch them.
No, I wanted them to be caught.
Okay, but then you're not
different.
Loyal to Philip.
I am loyal to Agent Gadd because that poor man.
No, I don't get that.
Gadd's an a-hole.
Joe,
I like him.
I finish your thought in a second, but I need to know this.
I am Philip and Elizabeth.
Right. We agree on something.
High five from afar.
It's a really big table.
No, it's too far. Too far. Getting there? We're doing it.
There
it is.
There we go.
Oh, my God. Joe and Lauren on the same page.
Write it down. It will never happen
again.
Write
it in the baby book.
Especially since this is the last episode.
That's probably true.
We'll come back and you guys can
agree. Okay, so you're rooting,
again.
You're really rooting
for
Stan.
No, it's just that last thing at the end where I realized now that we know that Nina's completely turned, and we always talked about her kind of slowly manipulating, slowly turning tables on Stan.
Using
the manipulation.
Sex.
And then by the end there, when she shows up, I'm here, and then she makes out with him and says, oh no, I was ready to go home, but I gotta stay. And Stan's I'm sorry, I'll do whatever it takes. And then she kisses him. I'm like, oh, she's got him.
He did that, but if you're rooting for Stan, he did that to her too.
Yes, he did. I'm just saying, it just made me feel like
you didn't want to see her turn
Nina,
like that. Yeah,
Nina's right. It's something about she can be manipulative to a point.
Right.
But when she's really turned the screws, like the puppet master. I'm out.
No, she's dark now.
She knows how to work this.
Yeah, she
knows
really
what
working
she's doing.
The whole bit,
I agree.
In the shower, in the towel. I thought I was gonna go home.
She always.
You promised me.
That was phenomenal.
She uses her sex all the time. Joe always points out she's always on a bed or something.
Yeah. She just got out of the shower.
The legs are out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She also set that up.
Oops, putting my bra back on.
Exactly.
There's never a time when she's not dangling it.
She set that up. Though, because
she's dangling right in front of him, Stan, I feel so bad. Oh, there it is.
And she set it up because in the scene or whatever before, she was like, oh, so we're not going to get to see each other, but now it's like, oh, well, we get to see each other longer at least.
And then she gives all of his information to Arcady at the end.
Oh,
she's going for it. She's
let's talk about Stan, because that was a totally selfless act, because Stan has to know that he's not going to see her again if he gets her out west. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. yeah.
But he's willing, because he cares about her so much at this point, to do that. And now he's well and truly screwed.
Well, yeah. And his poor wife.
And his wife. Let's get into that.
Goodness. Sandra.
She's done with him, too.
She's done with him. But the only I think that he also realizes that, like, he has a stand-in and then another one right after. So he can ship Nina off to wherever, and he still has his wife.
Yeah.
He's not all alone.
Well, he
except that he doesn't really still have his wife.
Even 8 days in Jamaica in a private bungalow is not saving
them. I love that Philip got them the good
rate.
Oh,
yeah. I know.
Philip got them the discount.
God bless him.
Oh,
I'm still, I need to know how this day job works.
They actually have to do work while they're there.
But they're making, I was thinking about this, and I was like, I feel bad for travel agents, because they're making it look like anybody can do that job.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because they're just throwing these people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really need them, but.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
There's online for everyone.
She's great.
Oh, good for you.
I just, it's that, I mean, there's not, well, I wouldn't call it a hole in the story and the writing, but there's a couple little chinks in the armor where it's like, okay, how on earth do they actually do this, like,
full-time job and then another full-time job.
And then the other full-time, she, like, presses the copy machine and then goes in, so making noise, and has her little private meeting with Philip. And then they have got two kids at home that they, like, aren't there for 50% of the time.
Let's examine Philip and Elizabeth for a moment. These are the top of the top of the top. I mean, the United States, the CIA, tends to recruit from the Ivy Leagues. We tend to include in intelligence, we go after the best people around. So you're not dealing with, you know, like, standard people. You're dealing with people of incredibly high IQs, really, really bright, really, really driven. Mm-hmm. So they can do it all.
They
absolutely.
Can.
Whereas the rest of us would start having breakdowns, throwing things and fighting. They're like, no, we got
That's true. It's a good point. I mean, that really there is nothing wrong with the writing and everything. There are really no holes in the story and nothing.
I didn't mean to imply that.
No. I said that, but it's not. That's not really the case. I mean, you're right. They are obviously highly intelligent, skilled.
But I'd like to know really how it works.
But yeah, it makes you question, because you don't see it. And I know they probably don't need to spend time on it, but you're still like, well, how did they do that?
Didn't dude in The Office have a Russian accent? I wonder if they don't, like, get them
I thought he did,
he
too.
Did.
He did.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they
but
don't get
the whole
some...
thing a cover? Or is is that just their cover?
Well, I wonder, do they maybe have to, like, they're kind of like, they're fed by the embassy a little bit, they're helped out?
I don't know, because he said, he actually asked Philip, to come look at some singles hotel spread.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they did book a ticket to somewhere for Stan.
Oh, so that could have been,
they actually are doing travel agent activities. It's just, I want to see them do more, or, like, know what their schedule is or how they got the job. I just need a little backstory for this travel agent scenario. Going back to Stan, though, by the way, what was I going to say?
I don't know what you were going to say.
I was going to say it was, and now it's not.
Stan's a good guy.
Well, look, Nina and Stan, you know, we're obviously going to see, let's wrap up each topic here. Nina and Stan, we're clearly going to see her working her game with him.
No, Stan is in trouble, man. Stan is in deep
Stan's
right now.
Stan's in deep trouble.
Yeah.
He is. He, poor guy.
She owns him right now.
She owns him. He's
hook, line,
getting
and sinker.
Yeah.
So, and it didn't even occur to him that the op got blown, because he told her before the op got started. Didn't even enter his
brain. He doesn't question her at all.
Oh, no.
Because he thinks he owns her. Really, she owns him right now. But what I was going to say was about Stan. We never got to see flashbacks of Stan.
No.
We still did for next season. Well, maybe for next season. And while we're on that topic, just really quickly, but just the things that didn't happen that we thought were going to happen. Nina didn't die.
Nina didn't die.
We never saw the creeper. He never came back.
No.
And I need to know why that was even part of the story. I wish we could ask.
I know.
He can come back in season two.
Which creeper are we talking about?
The one that tried to, like, rape Paige.
You know, I wonder if his device, if he wasn't just there to kind of remind everybody that this is a real family raising real kids, and when things get screwed up, there is real danger of fallout.
Because if these kids are left neglected too much, what we were just talking about, they've got this job and they're spies and all these things.
That's true.
Stuff can happen.
Real life can fuck you.
Exactly.
Get you in trouble.
It's all right. She bleeps S shit, then you say F.
Whatever.
I said it.
Real life can mess you up.
But this is a Grammy-O show. Grammy-O does Justified. So and what he doesn't justify it is he's very good about bringing people back from season one. He'll show up in season four and season three.
Yeah.
So that he doesn't have a long.
With this, we saw that the tape in Weinberger's office or the debug, and then that came way later. So
he creates a world, and then he'll.
Are strategically placed, then maybe that will come back for a reason.
I really want to see Stan's. Like, history, though. And Nina.
Right. Well, what about Claudia and Arcady? What's going on there? Claudia's done. She's goodbye. We know she's on a show, so she's gone. Arcady, they're going to find a new...
Arcady was heroic. That was straight up heroic. When Nina came in there, he's spray painting those
cars. Whose side are you on?
Sending them out. Go. More cars.
I was developing Elizabeth's side.
I just love that. I love that.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, go Arcady.
Arcady and Claudia. They sprung into action.
Yeah.
So now we're hoping for next season we get to see a new Instagram. It's going to be a new Instagram paw.
Oh.
And Philip and Elizabeth, we got to see. We've been wanting her to tell him to come home. She finally did.
Oh, I can't wait.
And it felt good. We didn't technically hear him say yes, but, you know, and they're going to come home to a daughter that's got a lot of questions.
Well, I wondered if the season would end in a cliffhanger, and it kind of didn't. It kind of was pretty
wrapped up.
Well, yeah. It wrapped, yeah, but I there think that the really page dangling. Was supposed to, they're going to have a lot of questions to answer, and that could get pretty hairy.
Right.
It wasn't like a cliffhanger like we thought it was going to be,
right?
But it was a psychological cliffhanger.
They do have to still retrieve the tapes from Weinberger's, right?
Yeah.
No, who cares about the tapes?
Well, the tapes are
totally garbage because they know
they know it's fake now.
Yeah, they know it's all fake.
Oh, yeah. Right.
The tapes have no value.
The maid confessed.
But they're on to this couple situation. Like, I feel like somebody else had seen them. They're going to do more drawings. Yeah. Something's going to happen.
I told you guys when I first saw that Chevy Nova, I said that Chevy Nova is a big block V8 and that Chevy Nova, and it's going to tear through things. And you laughed at me, and that Chevy Nova was bad.
It was a good old-fashioned 80s.
That was a getaway car.
Thank God.
That was William Friedkin-style car chasing.
And thank God Elizabeth didn't die, and Instagrandma was there to possibly go, you know, she was there for Philip in his moment where he wanted to stay. I thought she was going to maybe go, like, get the kids or something for him instead.
Right.
But we know they're with the Beamans now.
That is the irony of all ironies. Mm-hmm. Stan shoots Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And then he's
babysitting while she gets...
She's a good disguise, though. Good disguise this time.
That was a good disguise.
Yeah.
She looked hot.
She looked good.
Finally a real disguise.
Yes.
Well, it was so much fun.
Yes, it was.
This was a great show.
This show's amazing. We wanted to come back and talk about this next season. It's going to be hard to wait.
It is.
I want to see...
January.
I mean, it just feels like a long time.
It is.
It's a long time.
Jeez, maybe we'll get a little, like, treat. Maybe they'll bring it back sooner.
Yeah. I have a feeling they'll do, like, a marathon of some kind at some point.
And we can rewatch or something. They always do that fun stuff on FX.
Do you think, when they bring it back, because they've wrapped it up, are we going to jump into 1982, or are they going to do a Mad Men thing where we jump in 84?
I don't know.
Or something.
I kind of think you're right. There might be a Mad Men thing going. They can cover more ground.
Because they've wrapped it up so much that they can sort of jump ahead. Now that'll give Instagram some cover.
Maybe. Well, thank you for listening and watching and tuning into iTunes. Thank you very much for rating and commenting and telling
your
friends, keeping the conversation going because it keeps the lights on here for us. So thank you for that. It was my pleasure to host the show with you lovely folks. I am Lauren Leonelli. You can find me at Lauren Leonelli on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, my website, and Vine.
I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter. You can find me on Grantland, ESPN's Grantland.com, Mad Men with Joe Flippo. And Bates Motel with Joe Flippo.
And I'm Jennifer Golden. You can find me at Jen the Jew on Twitter and Instagram and Vine. And JenniferGolden.com is my website. And we'll be back later tonight at 11 o'clock for Nashville.
And I'm Joe Flippo. You can find me at Joe Flippo on the Twitters. And like Joe said, on Mad Men here at AfterBuzz and also Bates Motel.
Good season, guys. See you next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Yes.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.